Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host, Minister Vaughn Dillon from Joy Anointed Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas. Well, good evening. I hope you're ready for the word. We're going to close out our series tonight as we continue to learn and dive into the comfort for troubled Christians. So we're helping each other. Us that have dedicated our lives and us that are trying to come back, and maybe we've fallen off the path for whatever reason that something else got our attention, to get off of that pathway of righteousness, we invite you back onto the pathway of righteousness. And all you have to do is open your heart and just let God just connect with your spirit. And you invite him to come and direct you and pull you back, show you the way. And let's just taste. You know, take a taste of it. You know, you go different places and you have taste samples. You get to sample something just to see if it is. Well, I just ask you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Sample the Lord and see that he's good. And you do that just by talking to him. Just by opening up your heart and not hiding anything, just knowing that he knows all, that he sees all, he hears all, and he is everywhere. So just be yourself. Just telling him something that you haven't told nobody else, because he already knows. And then to show you the word, read his word, talk to him, which is prayer, and just taste and see. Ask him to reveal himself to you, to show you his word in a living form, not just in some letters on a page, but ask him to bring his word to life for you. Hallelujah. I saw someone right now said, I'll take that challenge, Minister Vaughn. I will take on that challenge. Well, amen. It's a win-win situation. Believe me, it is a win-win situation, not just for you, but for everything around you. Because when he blesses you and when he lifts you up out of that miry clay, when he sets you on a foundation that won't crack, that won't sink, it's God-proof, then your cup shall start to run over. And as it runs over, everything that is in your pathway will be blessed. Hallelujah. Everything that is in your pathway will be healed, delivered, and set free. So that ailment that you've been praying about, to the voodoo doctor and to the lady with the palm reading and everything else, they're dying, going on hell, wherever they're going to go. They're dying away, passing right on. But Jesus came and chose to give his life for you, to shed his blood for you, for your healing. And so by every stripe of blood that ran down his body, it was for your healing. It was for your deliverance. It was for you not to stay strung out any longer. And most of all, someone needs to hear this. It's for your forgiveness. So whatever it is that you think that you've done that is so out there, man, they turn and say to them, I can never forgive you. But those stripes even covers your forgiveness. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. So we're talking about just again, God's word, just learning exactly. Tonight we're just going with the key. So we look off with looking at Psalms 37, and we was looking at how his word tells us that he shall, that word shall bold. So if you're highlighting it in your words or in your notes, just kind of highlight that word. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It means that he will put in your heart the desires for the things that he wants you to have. We spoke on last evening about some of the things that our hearts can reach out. We spoke about our foolish heart might desire something that would harm us, or our selfish heart might desire something that will ruin our life. Even our carnal heart might desire something that would just wreck our spiritual life and hinder your spiritual growth. a greedy heart might desire something that would make you a spiritual pauper, or a self-centered heart might desire something that would break your fellowship with him. And then lastly, your blind heart might desire something for the present that would be a curse to you in the future. See, but God is a loving God, and he is one who sees the end from the beginning. So many times that he will delay those desires or say no completely to those desires. But he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, it means that he will put into your heart the desires for the things that he wants you to have. And remember, he wants you to have the things that are the best for you. See, already under Philip, some people are saying, well, you know, he doesn't want me to have the things I want to have. But remember, open our hearts along with our ears as we went back and just spoke of the different things of our hearts. See, we all possess some foolishness in our hearts. Even when we think that we know what's best for us, we all desire and have some selfishness in our hearts. We live in a carnal world, so it touches us too. We have a bit of carnal. I don't care what your titles are or how lifted up that the world may put you on a pedestal, but we all have a piece of a carnal heart within us. A part of our heart has greed, self-centered, and a part of our heart is just blind to the whole situation. Something gets a flash in our lives, and we just say, I want it. And we don't care, really, look at what the end is going to be. We just want that high right there. We want that feeling. We want that first feeling that we get when we first stuck that needle into our arms. When we first laid down in fornication. When we first cheated in that marriage. We're looking for that excitement that we got it first time. So that's a part of all of our hearts. So we have to remember that God wants only what is best for us. Only what's best for us. So when he puts the desire in your heart, you can know that whatever you desire is in his will. When he puts that desire in your heart. And then, and only then, my sisters and brothers, you can have everything you desire when he places that desire in your heart. So when you ask for it, he who puts the desire in your heart loves to grant. Can you think of a sweeter, higher, or a better thing? That is perfect contentment, perfect peace. And that's what we're all looking for. That's what we're all searching for, that perfect contentment. They can say, I'm content. And perfect happiness. I think that you say, how can I have put the right desires in my heart? How can I? How can I have them put the right desires into my heart? Well, look at the first part of that verse. It says, delight thou self also in the Lord. And then it says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And what did it say? It means to find your pleasure in him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. See, the heart that delights in the Lord finds its truest joy in the Lord. Amen? And if we delight or find our joy in things like our possessions, our position, the result is frustration, unhappiness, disappointment. So when we delight in him, it means to find your joy in him. And when you find your joy in the Lord, it brings happiness, peace, and the contentment that we're all searching for, that we're all longing for, that we all need. Do remind me. I hope you have your pen and your sword. As we end this series, we're going to wrap up with a lot of different verses, and you're going to need this. Deuteronomy 33 and 23, it tells us to delight in his favor. Now, only if you can look back over that. Because as you start to delight in his favor, you're going to have to go back over and read it again and again, pray about it to get it in your heart. But you don't have to go looking for it. I'm giving you the verse. Deuteronomy 33:23. Then look at Ephesians 6 and 6. It says, delight in his will. Delight in his will. Delight in his service in Isaiah 41 and 8. Delight in his service. Amen? Just a couple more I want to give you. Actually, it's just one more on this one here. Delight in his person. Psalms 37 and 4. Delight in his person. And then delight in his presence, which is his fellowship. We should be occupied with him when we delight in his presence, in his fellowship. Philippians 3:11. It tells us, oh, how few of us delight in the Lord. Truly find delight in the Lord. Paul expressed it this way. He said, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. See, it's in him where we should find our joy. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Christ is all and in all. This is the secret of a happy life. I mean, it's the secret of contentment. That I'm so close to him that I want only his will for my life when I'm in contentment with him. When I found out that secret, I can have a happy life. Because I know that he puts the desires in my heart for the things that are for my good and are for his glory. So he puts the things in my heart that I should desire for, the things that are for my good and for his glory. So it's a win-win situation. Then I can have everything my heart desires. Because what's in my heart has been placed in my heart by the one who knows the beginning from the end, who knows the end from the beginning, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who knows those little secrets that I'm hiding from everyone else. That's the one that I'm putting in charge of my desires. Amen? Amen. So, you say, you know what, I may need proof. I may need a little proof about that one, Minister. Well, it has been verse 23. In verse 23, it actually tells us, Psalms 37, it tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So if you're looking for goodness, if you're looking for a happy life, it tells you right there, there's your proof. Your steps must be ordered by the Lord. So let me think about it, but let's know about it now. It must be ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Delight in the Lord. See, this is a cure for fretting, verse 1. Fret not. To fret, we talked about earlier, is to worry, to fuss, to fume. Fret not means do not get heated up about it. Why do we fuss and fret? Usually because we want something that we do not have, or we want something that others have. Look at it this way. A famous writer had said, who envies the trapped bullock, the ribbons and garlands which decorate him as he is led to the slaughter? He's got ribbons and garland all around him. He's decorated. But he's trapped. He's a trapped bullock that's been led to slaughter. Why would we envy that? Just because of the flashy things that is all around him?
See, this is why our Father said, fret not because of evildoers. Do not talk because they have more than you do. Do not envy them. They're like that fat bullock going to the slaughter. And you're sitting around envying them. They're like that fat bullock going to the slaughter. Hallelujah. We need to stop and look at some of the things that we really get upset about, that we really envy people of. See, the cure for fretting is just to be content. Again, your flesh may be crying out, but how? Again, it tells us delight in the Lord. Do not desire what others have, because you have him. Delight thyself in the Lord. You have the best right. You are winning this thing. Regardless of some of the other issues that people may have, all of the things that they may have, if they don't have the Lord. And I know people tell you all the time, oh, you know, I know God. Don't talk about living a godly life. You follow those same people who say, I know God. See just how much desire, what is the desire that's in their heart? Is it a desire to see the world prosper? Is it a desire to see every man and woman hear the word of God? To find the joy and delight themselves in the Lord? They said, I know God, but watch their life. What are they delighting in? They said, you don't have to talk to God every day. I can live my life the way I want to and make up the choices I want. I don't have to talk to God. Just because you pray every day don't mean I have to pray every day, but I still know God. So that's just like saying you know your spouse. But you don't have to see them or talk to them every day. But you still know them. How are you going to know about them? Their wants, their likes, their happiness, their sadness, their weak points, their strong points. We should maybe reconsider some of these things. The people that we envy, we shouldn't envy at all. Not because of title. Not because of the way that they articulate. And definitely not because of any possessions that they may have. We should reconsider the things and start to delight ourselves within the Lord. Hallelujah. Open up your heart, sister. Go ahead and open up your heart, brother. Receive the word of God. Let not another day go by. Receive the word of God in your heart. Verse 3 tells us that this is the secret of trust. This is what true trust is about. When we can trust in the Lord, when we can truly trust in the Lord, we understand death a little bit better. We're able to make it through. When we can truly trust in the Lord, who am I to question God? After all he's done for us, even allowed us to love someone, to even miss them, we've had to love them. To even allow us to have loved someone, that's just a gift. And he tells us, oh, this is not our home. You don't get mad at me when I leave your home. You know, that's not my home. So even though our flesh and our heart too may miss someone, I can't get mad at you for going home. Amen. And it doesn't have to be your immediate loved one. Anytime you hear of any loss, then we pray for them and we thank God for just comforting their hearts. So we have to be there for each other to step us through the grieving process and go through and not just stop there. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord and trust God. Trust God. We talked about different analogy about the farmers last night, and just a little bit about the farmer sows and cultivates. And then he leaves his harvest to God. What more can he do? He cannot send sunshine. He cannot send rain. And likewise, we must leave the results to God. I can trust completely in him if I desire only what he wills. If I delight in the Lord. We need to sow and cultivate and leave the rest to God. This is the result of surrender in verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit. Commit means to roll your anxiety on him. To lay it all down on him, all your anxiety. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. If it is not his will, I do not want it. I want to delight in the Lord. What do you want to do and cannot do? What is it that you want to do and cannot do? What do you want to have and cannot have? Or what do you want to be and cannot be? It becomes a burden. And it starts to lead to frustration. It starts to lead to bitterness. If you watch everyone around you getting what you really want. Hallelujah. But when you start to roll it onto God, turn your affairs over to him, and when you completely surrender yourself to him, then he will become your only desire. You desire him more than anything else. And so I can have every desire of my heart when he is my only desire. He's going to place the desires that he wants me to have in my heart. Are you following along with me? Are you beginning to get this? Let's look at verse 7. 7 says, this is the foundation of peace, rest in the Lord. And the rest means to hold still. Sometimes it's hard for God to keep get us to hold still. So when we rest in him, we're not fretting. We're not all disturbed, and we are content. We're not trying to do it ourselves, and we're not running around like a chicken with his head cut off, but we are content. We are content. I remind you that you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. walkwithmegod@aol.com, or you can reach me here in Little Massachusetts at the Block Talk Radio. Let's continue, shall we? Now, here's a passage on a great ocean liner. He lies in the deck chair and rests. The great engine and the mighty propellers drive him across the ocean. And when he arrives, his friend says, how did you get here? He can honestly answer, I rested. Did he have to struggle? Did he have to fret? Did he have to worry? No. He just rested to take him across. Do you have a problem? Turn it over to him. Rest in him. Then when someone asks, what are you doing about it? You can say, I'm doing nothing. It has been done for me by one who is perfectly able. I am resting. Anything less than that is not faith. Anything less than that is not faith. So you sow, you cultivate, and you roll in all your anxieties over to God, and you rest in him. Rest in the Lord. You can say, I'm just resting. Anything less than that is not faith. But remember, this is a desire. He must put in your heart. So we've got to delight in the Lord in order for him to put it in our hearts. And then verse 6 tells us that this is the basis of exoneration. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness. This feeling he will clear the slime. He'll clear all the slanderous words. He'll clear all of the bad biting. Just stand still. You don't have to do it for him or try to work in his behalf or lend him a hand, but he will clear it all out if you stand still
he shall bring forth thy righteousness.
Then we may be sure that if we look to his honor, he will see to ours. He will see to ours. If we just look to his honor, he'll take care of ours. Has someone misunderstood you, maybe abused you, or misused your name, and falsely accused you, lied on you? Well, if you're lying, pinch yourself, make sure you're lying. If you've been in that category, if you're lying, I'm sure that you're going to have one of these happen. You've been lied on. You've been abused. You've been misunderstood. If you delight in your Savior, if you just rest in him, then he should bring forth thy righteousness. See, there's usually not much use in our seeking to justify ourselves when falsely accused. It's not much use of running around and trying to make someone understand that that's not what you were trying to do. No, I was not involved in that. No, it was not me. No, I've been falsely accused. It's usually, I don't care, the more we say, if someone wants to believe that, they're going to believe it. They're still spread the rumor. They're started whatever people will believe the rumors. And you're running around all upset about it. It's spreading. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto the Lord. We got to start standing on the word. We fight back with the Lord if he says it. This is my battle. I will take care of your honor. Hallelujah. It does us no good to run there around trying to seek justice. Someone has said, your enemies do not believe your defense, and then your friends do not require you to try to defend yourself. Amen. The very effort leads to more anxiety, frightened, and fussing. Just simply rest in him, and he shall bring forth our righteousness. So as you come up with some walls like that and obstacles just trying to block, you just say, you know, I'm just resting. I've sowed, I've cultivated, and I'm resting. I'm just resting in the Lord. I'm resting in the Lord because I know he shall bring forth thy righteousness. Read it in this way. Delight thyself in the Lord. After all, it is usually ourselves that has been hurt. Just delight in the Lord. Verse 8 tells us this is the cure for anger. The cure for anger, because verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. See, the psychology tells us that anger is a defense mechanism, usually based on the fact that we feel insecure in the position that we've taken. How perhaps the only way to cease from anger is to delight in him. Return your position and your reputation over to him. We can usually see the self in the other person, and this adds to your own discontent. He has so much self in him, yet he gets along so well. Let's see that we ourselves find our delight in the Lord. And then verse 7. Now, this is the principle to patience right here, verse 7. This is our key to patience. It says, wait patiently for him. Waiting is part of resting. Roll your problems with him. You see, it is God's affair now. Do not fret about it or fuss about it, because you know that he is able. Just wait. His clock is not necessarily synchronized with yours, because you do not see what he's doing. See, that does not necessarily mean that he is not working on your behalf, because you can't see anything going on. But waiting is, again, proof of your faith. So do not turn the thing over to him and then become impatient and try to take it back out of his hands and try to do it yourself and do it your way, and it's a faster way. Not only wait. See, we cannot help waiting, but wait patiently. Wait patiently. There's a difference. I've seen many impatient waiters. Because we do not wait patiently, God sometimes has to wait for us. You do not have to wait to begin to delight in Him. You do not have to wait to have every desire fulfilled. You can start that right now. Because He shall bring it to pass. He worketh. It is present tense. He starts when we roll it onto Him. We don't have to wait to start. He starts the moment that we roll it onto Him. And He begins immediately. So commit, rest, trust, and delight. This is not a life or life of choice. This is something that you have to choose yourself. No one's going to spring it up on you. No one's going to make it happen. You have to decide. It's the greatest incentive to any aggressive or insincere, ambitious Christian. It is the greatest incentive. And to know you should have every desire of your heart is not only possible, but it's His will for you. This is joy. This is a delight to know. This is true Christian victory. To walk so close to Him, to be so yield to Him that He can whisper, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Hallelujah. When you're not for sure which way to go, then He don't have to yell at you, hit you upside the head every time. But you can be so close with your walk with the Lord that He can just whisper, "This is the way, my daughter. My son, this is the lady. Yeah, this is the one right here. No, son, that will hurt you." Amen? You can be happy. You can be content. You can. Because your heart desires only His will for you. And He who gave you the desire is able to fulfill it. We said He puts the desires, His will in your heart. And He who gave you the desire, He is able to fulfill it. Trust Him. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. One more time. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I pray that you would take this understanding in this whole Bible study that we've just completed. Go back, download it, take your notes on it, rewrite it. As the Lord puts different things in your spirit, this is going to be individualized to you. Take it with you, post it in your car, post it on your wall, and start speaking the word. Start walking on it. Start making a difference in your life. And watch everything around you change. As we close tonight, Christian living, whatever you think, both in joy and in woe, think nothing you would not want Jesus to know. Say in a whisper or clear, say nothing you would not want Jesus to hear. Whatever you sing in the midst of your glee, say nothing God's listening please. Whatever you write with haste or with heed, write nothing you would not want Jesus to read. Whatever you read, though the page may allure, read nothing unless you're perfectly sure. Consternation will not be seen in your eye or in your look. If Christ should say silently, "Show me that book." Whatever you go, never go where you fear God's question then asked you, "What doest thou here? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "But ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your spirit. which are both belongs to God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your reading. Thank you for your word. And we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And now I ask that you just surround each and every one of us, dear Father, as we try to walk the walk that we just read, as we try, dear Father, to understand our living life with you, the joy that we have that you want us to have more abundantly. As we delight ourselves in you, as we delight ourselves in you, we thank you, Jesus, for being there and just to place in our hearts your will, your desires in our hearts, and that you would give us these desires according to what you placed in our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we honor you, Jesus. Amen. And if it's your time that you just want to accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, I just ask you to continue to open your heart. The word has you open and ready to receive him. And just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live inside of me, now and forevermore. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for never leaving me. Thank you, Jesus, for believing in me. Now I ask you to strengthen me and put your desires, your will in my heart as I delight myself in thee. Amen. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. According to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, read it. It says that now you are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are now new. Old things have passed away. You have a clean slate with God starting right now. I invite you to reach out to me and just tell me about your decision to follow Christ. And then tell someone else around you that you can trust. Not someone who's going to try to pull you out to the bar the next night. Not someone who's going to laugh at you and call you names because they don't understand ignorance. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or you can leave a message here at the blog talk. I'm here for you. I'm here to pray with you for whatever your needs may be. Or just to talk. You may have questions that you just don't understand. You need answers to. You can reach me. Again, my name is Minister Vaughn Dillon from Troy Anoint Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas. And I love you. We've come to the end of another broadcast. But remember, God loves you more. Now you challenge yourself. And don't you forget, practice delighting yourself in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Until the next time, bye-bye.